Zipper. Zipper is a important place, but I have not much on it to talk about. I'll show you what I have and go over it with you. Zipper is, as I say, Uchu's residence. That means a ziggurat. And with the residence usually comes the city down below. That's the city-state. But Utu has his realm of responsibility is the missile site and the launch and landing pads. Nothing gets launched, first of all, without Enlil's approval and Utu doing it. You've got to see Utu to get launched. Doesn't matter where you're going. So, unless you're in your own saucer, that's not a launch. I'm talking of mostly rockets here, whether it be interplanetary or just simply pedaling around Earth. So, the patron city here really wasn't meant for the Earthlings. It's meant for the gods to have a private launch and landing site. So there are artifacts, and a lot. I just don't seem to find them. And what I have is what you see, so bear with me here. It is important to go over this. So as you look at this map at 1D, hit refresh to restart any slideshow. There's a rewind to the left, you see an arrow, and a fast forward, so to speak, to the right. So if you want to go through the artifacts a little faster than the timing of the automatic shift of slides, you could go through the arrows. If you want to go back and study one, it's simple. Hit the back arrow. Now, when you put your cursor on the artifact, the slideshow will stop. But you see immediately a brief description pop up on what you're looking at. Sometimes that description gets in the way of viewing the artifact. So the way to get around that is put your cursor on the opposite artifact and let the brief description pop up on it. That'll stop the slideshow and give you a clear view of the one you want to watch or study. So in the case of 1D, which is the first one, it's a map. And in this map, you'll see we're interested particularly in two rivers. The Euphrates, which is the first one you see, and the Tigris is the next one. And if you follow those rivers, they'll dump into the Persian Gulf. Now, coming out of the Euphrates, you'll see several tributaries. In either way, whether you got a bunch of tributaries or just one flow of that river at that point, doesn't matter. You will see on the waterways, that's where they set up civilizations. That's where they set up their residence. Here's how it went. They came to Earth. They needed a residence. It took them quite a while to build it. They lived in straw huts, just like primitive man did in the beginning. They're in straw huts until they construct their ziggurat, and their ziggurat consists of just about a million mud bricks, maybe more. And then whatever is built below the ziggurat, such as a city, it too is made of mud bricks. The pathways are mud bricks. The stairs are mud bricks. You're talking about a million mud bricks, and a lot of soil. I mean, we're looking here at the land between the rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. That's the fertile valley of the Eden. The Eden, where all began, where man basically came about. And somehow he came about, modern man, right inside these civilized cities. You can't go from caveman to Homo sapien overnight. If you believe in evolution or if you follow it at all, there's a missing link in between Neanderthal and Homo sapien. And that missing link equals about 1 million years of evolution. Well, obviously that did not happen. So what did happen? They call it intelligent design, where someone somewhere intelligently transferred DNA and designed this. Now, what do you mean? Is that a creation or a design? They call it intelligent design. What do they mean by that? Somewhere along the line, caveman was designed to where he all of a sudden has his frontal lobe is expanded. All of a sudden he has reason. He has free will. He has a spirit. He has knowledge on things no caveman has. And to be a civilized in a city? With all the complications of a big city, these aren't small cities. Now, Sippar might be, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This is not like the other cities. And you can see it's way up to the north, where the others are more down south. That's because it's for the gods. And the earthlings always show up because you need workers. You don't want to keep making mud bricks yourself, and so on and so forth. So there's some workers there, and if there's workers, there's going to be artifacts. This is all I can find, okay? I guarantee you there's a ton of them. I just don't have them. I didn't spend much time looking, but there's got to be lots of them. That's my fault. But I've got enough here to show you what I'm talking about. So there is Sippar before any tributaries, and it's at the mouth, and it's away from the other cities, okay? And Sippar happens to be one of the very, very first cities established. Why? Because they need it for the transportation. Sippar has to be built, and has to be built right away, or they're not going to be blasting off with gold to Mars. They've got to have a landing and blast-off location, other than the Persian Gulf, which is where they landed when they came. Landed in the water in the beginning. Okay, as we go through these slides, you'll see another map, and then a black and white map. I'm just trying to show you what's happening with cities as they progress. So 1E, you see more city-states show up, and then you get to 1DC, and you see pretty much all of what was there in Mesopotamia. The land between the rivers, the fertile valley, where everything began. And, by the way, the Bible might mention that it's four rivers. Just below the Euphrates River is an ancient river that can only be seen from space, and it too dumps into the Persian Gulf. Just above the Tigris River, is another ancient river that you can see only from space, and it too happens to dump into the Persian Gulf. So I guess we're talking about the land between the four rivers, exactly as the Old Testament or Torah would have put it and did put it. It's the Eden where everything began. Okay, let me continue. Down low by the Persian Gulf, you're going to see Ur. That's the metropolis for the whole place. There's a million cows, for example, in Ur. And that takes care of food supply. And then there's a bunch of sheep in Ur and so on and so forth. Besides being a metropolis, a trading capital, and everything else, it's the New York of the Eden. Next, you're going to see Eridu. Eridu is about as important as it gets, but like Sippur, it's really, you're not going to see a whole lot history of the Earthlings in there other than the beginning of Earthlings. It happened in Eridu. Very important place. It happens to be the home of Enki, who landed first in the Persian Gulf. Well, besides Alalu. And you can take a look at their pages to get all this information. Okay, as we go through this, slideshow 1F. Excuse me. Slideshow 1F is showing you a flight path. This comes from Zachariah Sitchin. This is Utus, Sippur, how you come in. First of all, you've entered Earth's atmosphere. You found the Persian Gulf, and you're coming in for a landing, okay? This is your flight path, and it leads you directly to Sippur. Now, in the middle of that flight path is what is listed on below the diagram is a thing called mission control. So first on there is the spaceport, which is Sippur. Second on there in solid is Earth Colony Command Center, which is Nippur, where Earth Colony Commander Enlil lives. So you've got to get Enlil's okay to blast off, and you go to the north to do it. You see, one's next to the other instead of way down there. This is for the gods to do. Same thing works with Eridu. Pretty much the same, although Eridu too had kings and so forth. Okay. 2B will show you basically what Sippur looked like when it was first discovered by archaeologists, biblical archaeologists, looking for cities listed in the Torah or five books of Moses. If these archaeologists from the 1860s, say, on through the early 1900s, if they go find these cities, it will help them prove that the Old Testament / Torah it is a historical document besides a religious document. If it has factual historical evidence, or as factual evidence to their stories, they've got a sure book there, don't they? So this is what they're after. And as they go through doing that, they discover these, what they call tells. A tell is a mound that probably shouldn't be there. So they looked at these tells and they started excavating, you know, a little here or a little there. And they found mud bricks. And they go, So they keep excavating and excavating. As you can see from that slide, these things were buried. Now, sure, the great flood comes through and buries them, and that was established prior to the great flood. That happened. But there's also activity there through the launch and landing sites after the flood. So it was cleaned up. Utu's back living there. And again, Endo gives the okay. You just simply go upriver a little bit and you see Utu to get it done. Utu cuts the holes in the mountains for the launch sites that are definitely out of sight and some much well protected. You just don't want to do this while the earthlings are 10 feet away from you. That's not how the gods operated. So the ziggurat is actually a mud brick mountain. And these, they're shocked and they keep excavating for years. And as they do, they find thousands of texts, thousands of cuneiform, the first language on earth, where everything began, is right here. And not only do they find all these texts and all these city-states, they find thousands upon thousands of artifacts. Now, coming out of Sippur, maybe there isn't all those texts and artifacts, because it's not really meant for the earthlings, although they are there. Okay, because you need the workers. All right, next. You're starting to see what it might look like as they excavate. There's several tells there. And all of this belongs to what the gods designed for that city. That landing and launch sites that is done into the mountains, not the valleys. The next artifact 2A, a picture of it, is you'll see some of the mud bricks and the size of it in that wall there. Next artifact is a mind blower. Artifact number 3 is a artifact discovered in Sippur, and it is the map of the world. Map of the world. And above that map is cuneiform text. The map of the world at the beginning of man's civilization. Excuse me? You see what I'm trying to show you here? So here's an artifact that perhaps isn't for man, but it's there. Thank God man found it. The next one is number 6, in which are this funny looking face meant to scare you. This is a creature created probably by Enki to become Enlil's guardian of his cedars, the Cedar Mountains. Well, guess what that is? That's Lebanon. And in the Cedar Mountains, for some reason, they really like the smell of cedar. So they use cedar for the wood that they used inside the ziggurats. So the ziggurat was cooled and heated and had what you might call air freshener. Okay, a continuous air freshener through there. So they're way ahead of man. Here you're looking at a creature designed simply to keep the earthlings away from Enlil and what Enlil claimed to be important to the gods, cedars. So there you have that. And his name is Mbaba. By the way, you'll pick all this up under the page of Uruk, where you'll find Gilgamesh the King, and through Gilgamesh stories, you'll run into, it's either Humbaba in one, Hawawa in another. Again, it's just which text you're reading and which civilization you're getting it from. In which translation, too. But it's the same guy, creature. And it's Inki who does the creatures. The next is a vase artifact. All of these are coming from Sipper. And on it is just an example of the alien giant and some earthlings and some other things. The twisted neck of these, I guess they're giraffes. And when you get the twisted sign and the head that looks like a serpent, what you're talking about is your DNA double helix strand. And you can go to Nengazita's page if you wish to learn more about this entwined artifacts way back in history. It happens to be the medical logo. Go to Nengazita's page, you'll see what I'm talking about. The next one, you're going to see an earthling and a giant taking care of him. Okay? Not a good picture for the earthling. Don't mess with the gods. Obey them. Next is a mace. The head of a mace. The wood, obviously, isn't there. And on this mace is nothing but a cuneiform text, which is probably pertaining to a king. I'm just assuming there. They had maces, you know. Next is number 11. Again, artifact from Sipper, but it's about a king from Lagash. You can roll things on clay and hand them out, but this possibly is a rock carving. Do you think caveman did that? Or primitive Homo sapien? There's a giant for you if you wish to look. Next is a cone shape artifact, and it's Babylonian, coming from Hammurabi, the great king of Babylon, the one who brought the laws, from Utu, the lawgiver. Utu, it's his city-state here in Sipper, so it only makes sense. Anyway, here you have, on this cone shape, cuneiform text. That's it. And exactly what it says, I wish I knew. But on this is, you're looking at the shape, if you could imagine a three-stage rocket, put that in your mind. We use them all the time. A three-stage rocket. And at the top of that three-stage rocket is the command module. After you eject the first two stages where the fuel is, and you're now in space, you're using the command module to tool around. It's the command module that lands on the moon or Mars or Earth or wherever. It's the command module that lands. It's the rocket engines that launch. Rocket engines are gone in this picture. If you wish to see what I'm talking about, go to launch and landing sites under Early Technologies Ada M. You'll find the L's for launch and landing sites, and you'll see what I'm talking about there. Everything is on this website. There's tons here. Just depends on how much you want to know. It's here for you. So anyway, what you're talking about here is an example of what Earthlings saw they shaped this cone and somebody put a text on it. And what you've got is a copy of a command module, which is launched in Sipper, where the launch and landing site is. Next is an artifact in Sipper of Babylonian King Nabonidus. He's the last one. And on this artifact is probably done by an earthling. I mean, this is a much later king. So I'm assuming earthlings are doing cuneiform at this time, reading and writing. I have no proof of that. But that's a lot of text, okay? Nabonidus cylinder, go to Babylon if you wish to understand more about the Nabonidus cylinder. And last on this slideshow is another one of these wows. This is the list of the kings before the flood. A list of them. Excuse my French, but who the hell knows anything about kings before the flood? I don't see it anywhere, do you? Now, in the Hebrew text, or Moses, you know, five books, you have the bloodline of the Hebrew heroes starting from Adapa or Adam. Ten generations down to Noah. 10 generations. Each one of those heroes in the bloodline is mentioned in the five books of Moses and Genesis. In Genesis, you're going to see Methuselah lived 1,000 years, had so-and-so as his heir. Had many other children and passed on. He lived so long, okay? The next heir, same thing. The next one, same thing. They're all living around 1,000 years until the flood. Noah, who married his first cousin, is down to, I don't know, because Gilgamesh, a king from much, much later, a king in Uruk, takes a little quest, a little adventure, looking for immortality. He has to get in those okay. He's two-thirds divine. He'd like to live like the gods live. So looking to increase his lifespan and be like his mother, the goddess Nensun, she tells him, you got to go to Enlil, go find him and get his okay, and then you can be like us. So, man, he's off. He's on a quest. And for this quest, a creature like Humbaba or Huwawa is created named Enkidu. Enki fashions this creature again, and he brings it in as a wild beast to be tamed and become the ego check, first of all, to Gilgamesh, and secondly, he becomes a very trusted companion and his protector for his travels. So Enkidu, if you wish to learn more about him, very important. Again, you'll find him in Uruk under King Gilgamesh. Two-thirds divine king. All right. And he had two brothers that were the same way. Okay, so imagine... Here you discover, and you can read this text, let's say you're a PhD at Oxford, and you happen to have the text in your possession, and you translate it, what do you think they do? Oh my God, we better hide this, which is exactly what happened to everything that's here on my website. They didn't want this stuff discovered, and possibly the gods didn't want it discovered for a long time, because somebody buried these mountains with soil. Let's go back to the very first slide. No, I'm sorry. Hit rewind, and let's go back to the picture of the ziggurat. If you can see that, 2B, it's the one that has the flight path right next to it. On 2B, you will see that is a mountain of mud bricks, a tell, but you'll see it buried. That's soil. And when you remove that, as archaeologists do, they find a huge mountain of mud bricks way above the city. Now, this was probably buried by the flood, no doubt, but there was activity here way after the flood. It was important to the gods. It's the launch and landing zone. And it's their home. So they cleaned it up, moved back in, and continued to use it until a time that the evil wind came. The evil wind being a nuclear blast, actually several, when the cousin god warred against the other cousin god. And from this war, which they always have, comes the nuclear blast, and from the nuclear blast comes fallout. That fallout, I didn't even think of which way it's going, it ended up going right across Sumer. You can stay and die if you're a god, or you can get out of there. And there's a text that will tell you all about it. And you might look for the Lament of Ur, okay? And that would be on Ur, of course, the city-state. And there's Laments of Uruk and Lament of this. It's the lament of also Ur and Sumer. Okay, Sumer is what they call the very first group of city-states. All right. These laments, I strongly recommend you read them. I probably have them 3-starred to let you know it's important. So anyway, you're looking at these ziggurats, these huge, huge mountains of brick that look like they're just right on the plain. They're buried. What in the world? Who could possibly start carrying mud up and earth up and bury all those bricks? That's a mystery to me, and obviously it's the gods. So I say, maybe they buried this and wanted it preserved for a time when man was a little more advanced, and now we are Homo sapiens sapiens, with a little more understanding, and now it's discovered, and we should be able to handle the truth, and here it is. Except for the powers to be don't want you to know any of this. But the gods seemingly do. So here it is. It's right here for you to view. And that's about it. Let's go through a couple texts underneath the slideshow. You'll see a little thing for Utu's temple, and you know it's a praise to Utu, and it's a single star. That means there's a bit of information in there you might be interested in. Then next is the Eridu Genesis, and it's a triple star. I'm trying to tell you, this is a very important thing. And, you know, Genesis, from Eridu, Inky City, where it began. I'm trying to tell you it's important. Next is the Sumerian Great Flood. It, too, is a triple star. So I don't have many artifacts to show you, enough to give you a picture of it, an image of it. And I'm showing you some artifacts that are loaded with stars. Okay, or text, not artifacts. I'm sorry. Next under Sipper is Utus, semi-divine giants in their text. Well, I'm talking about kings. So if you look at the kings list, there's a one star and there's a triple three star. And I'm trying to tell you, please check out the triple three star. There's important information there, and I'm trying to bring it to you. If you're interested, it's here. If this is not for you, please leave. It's not for you. For those who are looking for maybe knowledge that others are not thinking about, this is exactly the place to be. Okay, so back to these things. The Sumerian Kings List gives you everything from the beginning, which is previous to the flood, and that will knock your eyes out, and then the rest of the kings, which is an artifact, by the way, from Kish. Okay, and under that is a little tidbit from Genesis, just because it all fits. One's a greater detail than the other, but they're all saying the same thing. Right here, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons, that's a shocker, this is the five books of Moses, right? When the sons of God went to the daughters of men. Huh? Huh? And had children by them. You mean there's sex organs on sons of God? And God can mate with primitive earthlings? Or newly modified earthlings? And have children. And it says, the children, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. They are the first kings, the heroes, the semi-divine, the giant mixed priests that were appointed to positions of authority and leadership over the earthlings. They were the go-between, the buffer between the earthling and the gods. The gods who lives in that ziggurat would give the laws and the rules to the king and the punishments and everything else that a king would need to use in an organized city. Maybe even the street design. All of these come from the god living in the ziggurat handed to the king so he can get the work done according to the wants of the god. If he doesn't follow the god's directions, he'll be replaced instantly. Not a good thing to do. There were a couple that tried it. They found out it was not a good idea. Too late, of course. So when you're talking about these children of gods, you're talking about the website. That's the whole purpose of this, is to show you the relationship between those who came down, these sons of God the Father, who is in the heavens, and his sons came down. did all this work, got tired of the work, needed replacements, couldn't get any replacements, couldn't get a change of work assignments. They're stuck in the gold mines in South Africa, one nasty job, while the others are in the Garden of Eden, getting fresh air and sunshine, and others are truckers from space and Mars to here. It goes from here to Mars as a way station, and then from Mars to their planet as it flies by or crosses through. That's, you'll find that at the Nibiru page. All this information, man, is right here. You're not going to be able to get it in 2 minutes. No. Anyway, here's a quick reference to what I'm talking about. And this is right there in the beginning of the text, in the beginning of Genesis. It's telling you right up. And it tells you many other things, too. So here's, this is out of the king's list. Larik was abandoned. Kingship was taken to Sippar. Here's the first time kingship is brought to Sippar, which involves earthlings and demigods to direct the earthlings. The other demigod that the gods would use would be a high priest, who's also the butler to the god, taking care of his day-to-day needs. But he's also the guy in charge of the religious ceremonies and the adoration of the god living there and the rules according to that. And whatever processions and all that would go through the high priest, as well as many other things that I won't get into. So here you are. Two ways to go with these giant mixed breeds, and both are go-betweens for the gods to use in reaching and directing the earthlings safely at a distance. Still primitive, you know. So as we come down, you see, see Utu's page for artifacts of Utu cutting out in the mountains the launch and landing sites. These are tremendous artifacts. I just don't know if any of them come from Sippar. But you'll find them on Utu's page. And man, I'm telling you, if you want to see what I'm talking about on the landing and launch sites, go to either, you know, Modern Technologies, 8 a.m. to get, you know, launch and landing, or go to Utu's page to get a full deal here of what I'm talking about. The artifacts are there, not here. So down below is a quick way to get to Utu's page. I thank you for coming. I really appreciate you taking time to even listen to this. And I hope I've given some help in some way. And if so, please come back. I think I can continue to show you things right here. And once again, I wish to thank you. And this isn't for everyone, so please don't stay if it offends you. Okay.